All right, good morning. Good to be here once again. Appreciate you folks showing up. I don't know what you're going to think of this, but I was looking through just some news articles and found one that kind of caught my attention, and I just thought it was interesting. In Goshen, Indiana, an Indiana Christian college rooted in the Mennonite traditions is lifting a century-old ban on the national anthem so that it can be played as sporting events. I thought that was kind of weird, and I started reading the article, and most of you know the Mennonites are very similar to the Amish. They're kind of separated, and that was the big thrust and the big push of their identity and who they were in their culture. A lot of them need Jesus Christ just like any other group, but it's kind of disheartening to see a group that separated itself like that, and the basis of their separation, one of the things that they held in high esteem was, you know, anti-military. They didn't want to fight, which is okay. They were pacifists, and they wanted to, observe that. And they banned the national anthem because of its war, you know, its emphasis on war, you know, rockets, red glare, and the bombs bursting in air, and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought it was kind of strange that, you know, we live in a society, in a day, where things are changing to such a degree that even what most would consider a very extremely separated group are kind of dropping their principles and dropping their convictions on some of the things that made them who they were. You know, I just got to reminding, and I like the national anthem, and I think it's a great thing that, you know, everybody plays it at sporting events, and I was in the Marine Corps, stand up and salute at the national anthem, and I think it's a good thing. But I tell you what, it just kind of goes to show you that, you know, we're in a day and a time where if we're not careful, it's real easy to compromise on our principles and lose the identity of who we are. And I ran across that and just, I thought that was very interesting. It has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon this morning. But I thought it was interesting, and I just thought before we got into the sermon, I'd say, be careful, folks. Be careful, brethren. Don't, let's not lose the principles that made us who we are. When the Lord Jesus Christ, Jude says, earnestly contending for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Amen? Keep that in mind. Take your Bibles, if you will, and open to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And you'd think I would know this after this many years. Daniel is after Proverbs. Daniel chapter 3. It's right after the book of Ezekiel if you're searching for it. Daniel chapter 3. And we'll go back to a very familiar story in the Bible, one that most kids learn in Sunday school, and hopefully they'll recognize this as we go through. But in Daniel chapter 3, we'll start in verse 1, and the Bible says this. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together unto the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Kind of get the idea that he set up an image. Then an herald cried. He cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for a chance to be back here again on a Sunday morning. Lord, I do pray that you settle the hearts of your people and open up the hearts and the minds, Father, of each and every individual that's here this morning. I pray that maybe they would be able to glean something from the Word of God that would be a help to them. Father, if there's anyone here who's never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, of course, this morning I pray that you'd minister and deal with them especially. And that, Father, would for those that are saved, would walk out of here a little closer to you and have a little more, understanding of what a great God you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we start off here in the book of Daniel, and we read about Nebuchadnezzar the king, a great king, and he built an image and set it up. And I got to thinking about that, and something happened in work today, or at work this week, that kind of triggered this. But in 1967, in fact, it was in July of 1967, the aircraft carrier, the USS Forrestal, had a tragic event occur on board her ship while she was fighting over in Vietnam. And about 10:50, what happened is while they were preparing for the second strike of the day, there was it was an unguided M-32 Zuni rocket was loaded on board one of the aircrafts. And what happened is as the pilot was switching over from one power source to an internal power source on the engine, near as they can tell, as there was an electrical discharge that happened, and that electrical discharge went through the circuitry in the airplane down to this rocket and fired that rocket while it was sitting on board the aircraft carrier. Generally not the place that you want to fire a rocket. Well, what happened is that rocket, the deck was full of aircraft at this point in time because they were getting ready to launch their second mission of the day over Vietnam. So the deck was filled with aircraft, all loaded with bombs, all sitting on the deck waiting to be launched. And this particular airplane, a rocket shot out, went across the deck of the aircraft carrier to the other side where it struck the fuel tank of another plane sitting on the deck. The rocket did happen to have a safety on it, so it didn't blow up. But what it did do is it knocked that fuel tank off of the airplane, ruptured it, splitting that fuel tank open, and that thing started spewing jet fuel all over the aircraft carrier and all over the deck of this of the aircraft carrier and all over the other planes. About that time, that jet fuel caught fire, and they had a massive fire. And that fire started burning, and that jet fuel started spreading across that aircraft carrier. And just at that point in time, guys, everything went wrong. Everything went wrong. People started scrambling. The fire team started, getting their gear and heading over there as soon as they could. Now, remember, at this particular time, this jet fuel is floating all over the aircraft, over the surface, the deck of the aircraft carrier, and there are planes all loaded, completely loaded and fueled, sitting on the deck of this aircraft carrier. And that fire started, and the fire team ran to action, which, at that time they had specialized people that were trained to fight, that were basically firemen on board the aircraft carrier, specialized team. They got all their gear, they headed over, and they tried to put this fire out. And the fire chief at the time knew that he had about 3 minutes, because one of the other things that had happened is in the process of all this, not only did that fire tank, that extra fuel tank, become ruptured, but some of the bombs that were loaded on the wings of these other aircraft actually fell down and were sitting in the fire. And that fire chief knew that, I've only got about 3 minutes before this thing blows, before one of these bombs blow, and we just have an extreme tragedy on this aircraft carrier. And so he took the fire extinguisher that he had, and he's trying to put this 1,000-pound bomb that's laying on the deck of this aircraft carrier in the midst of a bunch of JP-5 jet fuel. He's trying to put this bomb out. And what he didn't realize was that the bombs they had loaded that time were actually an older version of the bottle, of the older model of the bomb. And he actually didn't have 3 minutes like he thought he had. He only had about half that time. And he saw that bomb split open, and he realized, this is not good. He yelled to get everybody back away from that aircraft, away from that, that bomb before it went off. But it was too late. That bomb exploded. He obviously lost his life. So did the rest of the fire crew that was sitting there trying to put that fire out. They, the aircraft, that initial bomb was fired by that electrical spark flew across the aircraft carrier, and they said it hit one of two aircrafts. It was either an A-4 of Lieutenant Commander Fred White, or it was the A-4 piloted by piloted by Lieutenant Commander John McCain. Kind of interesting. But anyway, that bomb exploded, and those planes started going everywhere. And from there, I mean, just utter chaos on the board of that flight deck. And in other fuel tanks started rupturing, other bombs started dropping off, and it was a tragedy. According to the Navy, there was a total of 9 bombs that exploded on the deck of that aircraft carrier. Total 9 bombs that exploded. Lieutenant Commander, John McCain at the time, actually saw what was happening, and basically those pilots had a couple of decisions. I can run through the fire, or I can stay here and burn. So they tried to get, obviously he made it out alive, but it was, just barely. There are a lot of people that didn't make it through that event alive. The fire crew initially, I'll hit that a little bit later, but the fire crew wound up dying, and there they were on the deck of this aircraft carrier, fuel all over, bombs exploding, which was igniting other fuel tanks, and ladies and gentlemen, not a good scenario. And I would like to talk about this situation here this morning. And we see in Daniel chapter 3 where Nebuchadnezzar had made an image of gold and silver, or made an image of himself and set it up. And basically what he said is, I'm going to set this image up, and anytime you hear the sound of the music, when you hear that sound, you're supposed to bow down and you're supposed to worship the image that I've set up. And if you don't, I will cast you into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And that's where these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, find themselves under Nebuchadnezzar's rule. And I'd like you to consider three things this morning. Three things just in general about fire. Three things about fire. And the first of that is very simple. The first thing is just the fear of fire. The fear of fire. Now, As a rule, all animals and most men are afraid of fire. Amen? Would you say that's probably true? Unless, of course, you're on the men's offensive with us at Blessed Hope Baptist Church and you're at Dave's cabin and you happen to be named Dave Darling. Dave's not afraid of fire. I don't know if you guys have had the opportunity, or how many of you have had the opportunity to see some of the fires that Dave builds, but Dave builds a mean fire. He finds good use for his used motor oil, his Coleman white gas. I'm telling you, it's really something. The other person you got to watch out for, is he here this morning? Jim Duggan. You got to watch out for Jim Duggan, because Jim's not afraid of fire either. Jim Duggan likes to bring chunks of magnesium. I don't know if you've ever seen magnesium burn, but let me tell you, the guys really enjoy it. But you can't look at it because it's so bright. So he takes these chunks of magnesium and throws them into Dave's fire. But outside of those two men, and maybe a couple of folks that I know that are firefighters, most people are afraid of fire. And you know what? That's understandable. It really is. There's a reason. I mean, it's a horrible way to go. I'm sure most of you here at one point or another have burnt yourself to some degree, some worse than others. But fire is a horrible way to go. The pain is excruciating. I remember an evangelist that used to come through our church in South Carolina when I was back there. His name was Phil Kidd. And he told us one time of a car accident that he had stumbled upon, traveling as an evangelist through different churches. And he came across this car accident, pretty terrible car accident. And he stopped and pulled over and, grabbed his first aid kit and went over to see if he could lend any assistance. And because of the way this accident had happened, the motor, the engine of this vehicle, the front of that impact had hit so hard that engine had been shoved back and basically, for all intents and purposes, was sitting on the lap of the driver. That hot engine with the exhaust pipe sitting on the lap of the driver. He said he walked up to that driver and the guy was sitting there just screaming in pain. He said that made such a lasting impression upon him of fire and of burning that he said he'd never forget it. Never forget it. Can you imagine that engine sitting, and he was pinned. He was pinned down. What a horrible thing. I remember another sermon illustration. That I think it was Brother Wright. Is he the firefighter? The missionary that came through here in our church. And he was telling of several different instances. And one of the instances that he was telling about was a young man that had went out at work to fuel up one of the pieces of machinery and in the process spilled a bunch of fuel all over his body. And that fuel caught fire. And he became completely engulfed in the flames. Brethren, that's a horrible, horrible way to go. That's a horrible way to go. And that's what these three men were facing. You understand, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were told, if you don't bow down when you hear the sound of the flute, the cornet, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if you don't bow down and worship the image which Nebuchadnezzar had faced, you're going to be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And I tell you what, those three guys had to have been afraid. Knowing what they were getting ready to face, they had to be afraid. They knew the cost. They knew the penalty. They had to have been afraid. I think of another example. This is kind of off the wall, but my wife was in a house fire when she was a kid. Their house burnt down. In fact, she lost a little brother, Larry Dean. She was only a couple of years old, 2 or 3 years old, and most of you probably don't know it, but she still has scars on the inside of her forearm from where she was burnt from that fire. The fear of fire. The fear of fire. It's a natural thing. I tell you what, to this day, I don't want to tell you, but to this day, if we're watching like a World War II movie or something like that, and you have a scene flash across the TV where somebody's burning, like from a flamethrower or something like that, I change the channel. Because as soon as that thing happens, immediately, I know, my wife gasps, she cringes, and turns her head away from that scene. The fear of fire. For some in this room, the fear of fire may be very real. Those three Hebrew boys, that's what they had to face. If they were going to serve their God, if they were going to stand up and do what's right, they had to face the fear of fire. Because they were already told, you don't bow down and worship, you're getting thrown into a burning fiery furnace. And there was no doubt about it. Nebuchadnezzar was going to do that. And they had a choice to make. Take a look at chapter 3 again in Daniel. Take a look at verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and all kinds of music, all the people, the nations and the languages, fell down and worshipped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans, it's always great to have friends, came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. Great politicians, right? Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast in the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if ye be ready at that time when ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning and fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And if he will deliver us out of thy hand, and if he will, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, Be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's pretty gutsy. That's pretty gutsy. You see, there's a very natural fear of fire. And I think, in fact, I watched a video clip of part of it. Part of that fire in 1967 on the USS Forrestal. There's videos of it out there and show what's going on. And I'm telling you, what a tragedy. What a terrible thing to be caught up in the middle of. And I think of some of those other stories, and I think to myself, you know what? I don't want to go that way. Amen? I don't want to go that way. But these three Hebrew boys were faced with a choice of, do I serve God or do I face the fire? Do I serve God and do what's right, or do I bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's image? And you know they were afraid. And you know what? They chose God. They chose to serve the Lord their God in spite of what they knew was going to happen to them. And their attitude, as we read right there, was very simply this. You know what? Our God is perfectly capable of saving us if He wants to. And if He doesn't want to, so be it. But we're not going to bow down and worship your image. That's pretty good. Because of this, they'll forever be known in the Bible as, a couple of boys that are willing to trust God in spite of their fears. Do you get that? They were willing to trust God in spite of their fears. They made the Bible for that. Now, brethren, that's where you and I ought to be. I don't know what you fear or what types of fears that you have or what you're afraid of here this morning, but let me ask you this. Are you willing to trust God in spite of your fear? I mean, I know there's a lot of people who are afraid of, ridicule from family, friends, and, they'll think you're a fanatic or a Bible believer, or they may be afraid. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning, and maybe you're afraid of what God's going to ask you to do. Maybe you're afraid that if you become a Christian and become too wrapped up in church, maybe you'll lose position and you won't get that promotion at work because your boss will look down upon you because now you're not one of the guys. You don't go party with them the way that you used to and those sort of things. I don't know what type of fears you guys may be struggling with here this morning. But I know this. I know those three Hebrew boys were afraid of something that's very real. And their end was very certain. And it was going to happen to them. And they had to make a choice whether they were going to give in to their fear or whether they were going to serve God. And I'd like to ask you this morning on the first point here. First point is the fear of fire. It's a very real fear. Now maybe your fear isn't fire. Maybe it's something else. But I'd like to ask you the question that they had to ask themselves. And that is this. Are you willing to go along and follow God in spite of your fear? In spite of your fear? Because that's a decision these guys had to make. Proverbs 3:5, a very familiar verse, just simply says this. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It says, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy path. The fear of fire. It's a very real fear. And I understand it. But I tell you what, these three guys had to overcome even that. And decide. They decided to serve God. Let's move on to the second point here. The second point. Not only does fire instill a lot of fear. And it should. Not a good thing. But I tell you what, there's a lot of foolishness about fire as well. You could wonder about Dave and Brother Jim a little bit, but there's a lot of foolishness around fire. And sometimes fire is the result of foolishness. The USS Oriskany was another aircraft carrier. Awesome aircraft carrier. I say that because I'm kind of partial to it, because I had a chance to dive it when it was, it's off the coast of Pensacola right now, and I got a chance to dive the USS Oriskany a couple years ago. But the USS Oriskany was off the coast of Vietnam when it was in service, and there were two sailors that were down a couple decks down. They were actually down on the hangar deck, and they were walking in through a room, and they were getting ready to go back and store some flares. Not a big deal. I don't know what happened. I know how sailors are. They probably weren't goofing around and playing, you know, playing around. But I tell you what happened is one of those flares got lit. And there's a natural fear of fire. And sometimes when you're afraid, you do stuff that's kind of stupid. That's point number two, the foolishness of fire. So this sailor's got this flare that's lit, and I imagine he's thinking, oh no, what's going to happen now? In much more colorful terms, probably. But he takes the flare, and he opens the locker, throws it in the locker, and closes the door. There, that'll get rid of my problem. Except that locker had 650 other flares in it. A lot of people are afraid of fire. And sometimes when you're afraid, you'll do something pretty foolish. And this guy threw that flare into a locker, slammed the door, and that locker had 650 other flares in it. And you know the end result. Those flares went up. That ship started burning. 44 men on that one lost their lives. 44 men on that one lost their lives. You know what the problem is sometimes, folks? Sometimes, because of fear, we're foolish and we try to fight fire the wrong way. See, this guy thought he could take that flare that was burning. If he just tossed it in the locker and closed the door, it'd be all gone and I wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. It doesn't work that way. Sometimes people do some pretty foolish things when it comes to fire. I learned something this week at work. I just found out this week that we're going to have a safety stand-down day on March 10th. And so one of the things that we had to go through and do is pick the curriculum that we're going to, you know, choose as a unit to watch on the safety stand-down day. So we picked, you know, different things like electrical shock hazards and a few things of that nature. And one of the modules that we could go through was fire safety. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. So I popped it up, and I was talking with the supervisor, and we were deciding which, you know, like I said, which of the curriculum we're gonna choose. And we started looking through this fire safety curriculum, and it talked about the different categories of fire extinguishers. And I knew there was different categories of fire extinguishers. You know, there's a type A, a type B, a type C, and I knew about those. Type A would be good for, like, wood, paper. It's probably a water-type fire extinguisher, what you think of. There's also a type B fire extinguisher, and it's for flammable liquids, such as, Coleman, white gas, used motor oil. It's for putting out liquids. Because if you take a water fire extinguisher and you try to spray out a gasoline fire or a liquid, it's just going to spray the liquid all around. You got more fire everywhere. There's another fire extinguisher, type C fire extinguishers for electrical fires. Obviously, you don't want to take a water type fire extinguisher to an electrical fire and spray it on the water. I don't know if you've ever seen any videos where people have been shocked, but this is not a good thing. So there are different types of fire extinguishers for different types of fires. Well, the thing that I learned is there's another one that I wasn't aware of. There's a type D fire extinguisher. The type D fire extinguisher is actually intended for metals that burn. Metals, like the deck of an aircraft carrier. And you know what? All too often, people are faced with fire, and there's a certain fear associated with that. I understand that. But all too often, they go about trying to handle that fear the wrong way. They're foolish in the way they try to handle that. On the board of the USS Forrestal, that fire, again, that fire started, the explosion started from that first bomb, chain reaction started, the whole trained fire crew was killed in that initial explosion. Because they were the ones that were right there, first on the scene, trying to put out that fire. When that 1,000-pound bomb went off, they all died. Well, all except for three of them. They were critically wounded. They actually survived. But the rest of the trained fire crew was killed. And so what you had is you had a bunch of other sailors who jumped in and rose to the occasion, and they tried to do the best they could to put out that fire. Now, I know everyone was scared, and sometimes when you're scared of things, you do things that are foolish. And so what happened is you had one crew that was on this aircraft carrier man the foam, and they were trying to put out the fire because it was a fuel fire. Foam's a good idea, and they were trying to put out this fire with foam. You had a bunch of other sailors on the other side of the aircraft carrier who were doing the best that they could under the circumstances, extremely afraid. Things are going wrong. It's a bad day. And they're trying to put out the fire with water. And the water manages to just kind of wash the foam away. It adds more liquid. The jet fuel, the JP-5, started running down to the lower decks, and that whole fire started spreading to the lower decks of that aircraft carrier. You know, sometimes there's a foolishness surrounding fire. Because they tried to handle it the wrong way. Take a look at Daniel again. Look down in verse 20. So here's King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 19. I think we ended in verse 18. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. He's mad. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Crank up that thermostat to seven times what it normally runs. It wasn't just enough to throw him in the burning fiery furnace. He had to crank it up seven times hotter. Strange. Because they were going against his religion. They were going against his commandment, right? So verse 20, and he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen. I always like that. I always envision Robin Hood, little green tights going across with a bow. Hosen. Anyway. I don't know. These men... I'm so glad, guys, that we don't wear hosen anymore. Just doesn't seem too manly. I don't know. Long johns don't count. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, like seven times hotter, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'd say King Nebuchadnezzar was a little rash in his assessment of the situation. He cranks the furnace up seven times hotter, and then, of course, he loses his mighty men. That's kind of foolish. But you know what? There's a foolishness that surrounds fire. And people don't think it'll get them. They don't think it'll get them. Like that sailor that took that flare and threw it in the cabinet and closed the door. You know exactly what was going through his mind. I'm safe. It doesn't work that way, brother. It doesn't work that way. Because fire is a real danger. Nebuchadnezzar in his fury was mad, obviously, you know, lost his mighty men because he was foolish. Didn't stop to think about that. You know, a lot of people try to do is they try to put out the fire of their sin the wrong way. Amen? They think they can take their sin, toss it in the closet and close the door and hide it and everything will be okay. If I put on a good front, if I don't let anybody know, if I'm an upstanding citizen, then people will think that I'm okay. It's like that sailor takes that flare. What do I do with it? He's afraid of it for a little while. Foolishness sets in. I'm going to throw it in the locker and close it, and I'll be okay. Brother, it doesn't work that way. We sing a song that says, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." There's a foolishness that's associated with fire quite often. And just as mortal men sometimes do some pretty foolish things when it comes to just a regular natural fire, I tell you what, we men and women sometimes do some foolish things trying to hide from the fires of hell. We don't think. We think that by tossing that flare in the cabinet and closing the door so that I can't see it, everything will be okay. Or we're unaware, like those sailors on the Forrestal after the initial fire crew had been killed. They're thinking, as long as I grab a hose and start squirting the fire, I'll be okay. But that was the wrong way to fight a fire. It was the wrong way to fight a fire. It wasn't going to work. Not only did it not work, it made the problem worse. Because they were trying to fight their fire the wrong way. And men and women do that with the fires of hell. They try to fight it the wrong way. And all they manage to do is make things worse. Finally, the third thing that I'd like you to think about when it comes to fire, we've talked about the fear, and the fear is real and should be there. We've talked about the foolishness of fire. The final point that I'd like to make is just simply the finality of hell's fire. The finality of hell's fire. Now, fire on this earth is temporary. And as bad as some of those illustrations were, and as bad as it would be to be caught in a forest fire or a building that's on fire or something of that nature, you know what? That's only a temporary situation you got to deal with. And the truth of the matter is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing up there faced with their fear and faced with having to go into this burning fiery furnace for not bowing down and worshiping the image that Nebuchadnezzar set up. You know what they had at least in the back of their mind? Even though I'm sure they were terrified, at least they had this. You know what? It's only going to burn for a little while. It's only going to burn for a little while, and then we'll be dead. If God doesn't save us, it's only going to burn for a little while, and then we'll be dead. Fires on this earth, even like the tragedy on the Oriskany or the USS Forrestal or any other, you know, countless industrial-type fires or home-type fires or forest-type fires, at least they're only temporary. And while I understand that some people have been, you know, permanently scarred and had to live the rest of their lives in some pretty tragic ways, having faced a fire in one way or another, at least it's only temporary. But brethren, when it comes to hell's fire, that's eternal. That's eternal. And you can't afford to take the flare and throw it in the cabinet and close the locker when you're dealing with something eternal. You can't afford to make that mistake. Take a look at the back of your Bible in the book of Revelation real quick. We'll just hit a couple verses. Revelation, go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, let's read verse 20. Revelation 19, verse 20. "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Take a look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. Chapter 20, verse 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Take a look down at verse 14. "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The finality of hell's fire. But I know a way to escape out of that one. Turn back to Daniel, if you will. Turn back to Daniel chapter 3, where we were. Daniel chapter 3. And you know the end of the story. But I enjoy it, so we're going to read it again. Daniel chapter 3. Let's jump down to about verse 23. We know what's happened. These three Hebrew boys have been thrown into the burning fiery furnace. And in verse 23, we pick up the narrative, and it says this. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar, their worst fears were realized. You understand that? God didn't make it easy for them. God didn't get them very, very, very close to the burning fiery furnace and then say, okay, you're free. They actually got thrown in. God actually let them get thrown in. And verse 23, they were bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. There is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Well, we'll wrap things up here. Fire is a terrible thing. And I know that people fear fire, and some people are deathly afraid of it. Perfectly understandable. From a human standpoint, understandable. Unfortunately, many people have things like fire or something else that they fear more than God. Instead of fearing God and following His way for salvation, you know, they're foolish about how they try to fight fire. And they try to hide from God. They try to fight it in the wrong way. In essence, they take the flare, throw it into the cabinet, close the door. Or they grab the wrong fire extinguisher and try to put the fire out, only making matters worse. We talked about the finality of hell's fire, but more importantly, listen, we talked about the God that is able to deliver from fire. The God that is able to deliver from fire. And here you have Nebuchadnezzar, the king, big hot shot. He made all kinds of problems as a king, and you know he had some real issues going on there, but Nebuchadnezzar looks at all this and stands up and says, whoa, I was wrong. the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is able to deliver them from the fire. And I'm just here to tell you this morning, when it comes to fire, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is able to deliver you from not just a temporal fire here on this earth, but from the eternal fires of a lake of fire that burns forever and ever. The Bible says, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here or not this morning who has not trusted Jesus Christ. I don't know where you sit. I don't know, you know, I don't know your hearts. I don't know where you are. But I know this. If you're sitting here this morning and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, think about this. You say, oh, you're just trying to preach a hellfire and brimstone sermon to scare people into going to heaven. You know, when I was in the Marine Corps, before a 96 or 72, like 96 hours or 72 hour pass, they used to take us all down to the base theater, make us sit in the base theater and watch these driving safety movies, because they knew Marines getting out for the weekend were crazy. And they used to make us go watch these driving safety movies, and inevitably these movies, Ohio was the worst or the best, whichever way you want to look at it. Ohio produced some very, let's say, I don't know, graphic's not the right word I'm after, stunning driver safety movies. Because they would have actual, you know, Ohio state troopers get up and talk about different car accidents that they had been called to the scene of and give you a narrative of what happened and how the whole thing went down. And you know what they were trying to do? They were trying to scare us. Bunch of Marines. And you know what? Some of those videos and some of those stories those Ohio state troopers told, I still remember today. It worked. It worked. It wasn't a bad thing. Makes you think. Makes you think. I go in, I take, you know, some of these diving classes, scuba diving classes, and some of the advanced classes that I go in and take, you know what they talk about? They talk about the dangers of doing it wrong. They talk about the dangers of making mistakes. They talk about the physiology of what can happen to your body if you goof up. You say, they're trying to scare you. Yes! You say, why? Because you need to know. Because you need to know. You know, fear is a good thing. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I remember one time, my closest call with, well, I don't know if it's my closest call, but one that I vividly remember with the fear of the Lord was, there was a time, you know, I was kind of backslidden and just not really doing all that great spiritually and having a rough time. And I had to take a flight down to, I was going down to Alabama. And I got on this little puddle jumper of an airplane. So I was in Memphis, got on this little puddle jumper of an airplane, and I mean, I've flown thousands of times before. It doesn't bother me. And I go and I sit in the seat, and I look out the window, and the propeller is right there spinning. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope the bolts hold. I hope the bolts hold. I hope the bolts hold. The whole flight, I'm thinking, I hope the bolts hold. They held, and that was a good thing, but a little fear is a good thing. Lord, please let him hold the, please let the bolts hold. I didn't want that propeller. I was just, you know, I can envision it coming off, certainly spinning in my direction, chopping the plane in half, and I just, you know. A little fear is a good thing. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We talked about the fear of fire. We talked about the foolishness of fire. And we talked about the finality of fire. Like I said, fire here on this earth is bad enough, but it's only temporal. Only temporary. Hell's fire lasts forever. That's eternal. That's eternal. Brethren, that's what needs to be taken care of. Don't fear the wrong things. Don't be foolish about your sins. And don't make your final home a place of eternal fire. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we, Lord, once again, just thank you for the Bible that you've given us. And Lord, you've
You've given us a lot of instructions,
a lot of stories in the Bible that are teach us the right, teach us how to do right, are to teach us what a great God you are. And Father, this story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three Hebrew young boys, Father, there's an awful lot to learn from them. First off, they were steadfast in their faith. Lord, they stood up in spite of being afraid. In spite of great fear of punishment, they stood for you. And they weren't about to bow to an image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Lord, we also see something amazing in this account. Something that even Nebuchadnezzar found out, and that is, you're the only God that can deliver from the fire. And Lord, those two lessons should apply to each and every individual here this morning. For the Christian, standing up in the face of fear. And Father, for the lost person, you're the only God that can deliver from fire. And I pray that you'd impress that upon the hearts of the people that are here. And Lord, if there's somebody here that's not saved, I pray that today would be the day they would realize they need the God that can deliver from the fire. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand. We'll sing number 252. Number 252. Give me another intro there, Jenny, because I'm not quite ready yet. Number 252. Only trust him. All right. Trust him. Hold up on the last verse. Continue playing, Jenny, if you will. The Lord spoke into your heart today, asking you to trust him. In just a moment here, we're going to sing the third and final stanza of the song. And I just simply ask you this. If you're here this morning and the Lord's dealt with your heart, and you know it, maybe about something you fear, maybe about not living up to the kind of Christianity that you would like to live up to, or maybe just simply about trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When we start singing this third stanza, just slip out from where you're at, come down to the altar, shake my hand. I'll have somebody just simply pray with you, answer any questions you may have. Certainly don't let that fear stop you. On the third verse.
Trust him all.
Amen, folks. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer, and hope you have a good afternoon. See you back here this evening, 6 o'clock for regular services. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then you can be dismissed. Father, thank you again for this chance to be here. Lord, it's always good to open your book. It's always good to hear from you. It's always good, Father, to be challenged in our Christian life. And I pray that the words that were spoken here this afternoon might just help each and every person in this congregation. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.